That's it. Just after watching that emotional video, I was trying to text Ron and say, just hang on a second, it's my fault. That's what I was trying to, my wife's like, it's time for you to go up. I probably have misspellings and everything in there. I don't know. Hello, Arnold, my timer. Yeah. You don't need a joke from me now, I just caused one. So, wow. But that is that not an awesome video? I mean, let's think about the men and women that gave their life for our freedom today. And, you know, Kim and I drove by Memorial Park yesterday. Huge flags, and flags everywhere, just flying, and just so, I mean, we're both tearing up just driving, looking at that, just thinking how great it is to be in America, but it didn't come free. But people help make it free. And so we salute and honor those that have given their life for our freedom in this country. Amen. Amen. Well, today is Memorial Weekend, and we are excited. The weather is good, so that's good. I want to talk to you about, you heard the intro there, and you know, all you people that are back there that have a party history, they're, yeah! Boy, we're all going to town there. Yeah. Did I do that out loud? Oh, so sorry. I told Ron, I sent him that intro. Play that one more time, Ron, can you? Just... Most of us all know that. I told him, make sure you cut it off before they start saying words. I was actually going to bring one of my guitars out here and act like I was playing it. And then you guys would be thinking like, wow, he's really good. And then in the middle of it, start clapping. Start drinking water or something, but... But anyway, the title of this message and the reason that is being played is because this is Life in the Faith Lane. And that is obviously from a song that most of us know and recognize by that intro, Life in the Fast Lane. So, you know, just walking this walk of faith is something, isn't it? It's, you know, once you kind of get a hold of it and you start finding out, well, this is pretty cool and we're learning principles along the way. I mean, Kim and I are always learning. We're always, God is always showing us something. And I wanted to show and prove something to you, so I thought I'd bring this up here. That's for me to take a message. Now, I got an empty cup, and I have water. Let's talk about faith. Let's talk about our senses, our natural senses. And as we do this, let's say hi to our online crowd. I keep forgetting to do that, but God bless you guys. Thanks for watching us. But our sense realm, our five sense realm, what we can see, feel, taste, touch, smell, all of those things, and that's how we kind of operate in the world system, because we see it to believe it. We don't believe it to see it. We see it to believe it. We know the chair will hold us because we've sat in it before. So we live our faith by experience. And Hebrews, Hebrews 11:1, I'll show you what the Living Bible says. It says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. It's things that, you know, it's what we're believing for, what we're hoping for. It's what we are imagining. But let's just say we have this empty cup. We have this water. We take this water and we pour it in the cup. Now, I need a volunteer. I would say PK, but I'd like to live today. No, she would be very nice to me. But I would maybe a graduate. Oh, let's say somebody that looks like Jesus. Oh! Just stand right there for me. I didn't get to. I had to go. I don't want to say had, but I got blessed to go to my daughter-in-law's birthday yesterday. And I originally was planning to come to Aiden's grad party. And because they're on different sides of the spectrum, we couldn't do all that at the same time. And so anyway, you saw me pour water in this. What are the chances? Do you trust me? He's really graduating now. So how'd it go? It was a great party till I got to church. Okay, because I love you, Aiden. Please work, God. You can sit down now. You know, we'd all been holding our breath if I had PK under there. Oh, he's in so much trouble. We got the three amigos sitting right back in the back row back here. My mom is here today, so it's great to see my mom back. But when we talk about faith, we talk about, well, we see things and we go, how did that happen? Or that's how we believe. Well, I know the glass has water in it because I watched him pour it in there. So it should. Pay no attention to that. You know what's in there. I saw this illustration. I'm glad it only works once, you know, until I clear that out. I forget what it's called. Anyway, some kind of special powder. It's the stuff they put in diapers that absorbs everything. It's just, so I thought, oh, that's cool. I'll use that. But anyway, in life when we're doing faith, I'm going to move this out of the way because I'll end up. You get on that highway of life, we have places that we choose to go to. When you get on the highway, you have to merge onto traffic, do you not? You have lanes that you pick. There's usually, sometimes depending on what kind of freeway, there could be three lanes. A lot of times there's two, but there could be three. You could go in the lane on the far right, the slower lane, the cruise along in the middle lane, or you can move to the fast lane, the passing lane. And some people have no idea in this room what a double yellow line means. Anyway. But you have choices. Which lane are you going to drive in? And sometimes in our life things are happening and that kind of chooses us, helps us to choose which lane to drive in. Because maybe we're in a hurry, we're running behind, so we're going to, you know, we're not just taking our leisurely time, taking the scenic route or anything like that. But we can hang out in different lanes. Sometimes in lanes, it's a little more hectic. You're in the lane that, you know, if you're like, I just want to get to my destination. I don't care if I'm going 20 miles an hour or whatever, I will get there safely. You may, maybe the next day, but you can still get there. There are other lanes where it is a little more hectic. If you were in the Columbus area or if you drive to Columbus at all, it is a whole different ballgame than if you're driving around sometimes here in Marion. Now, Marion, we're surrounded by train tracks. So, you know, you deal with those and overpasses, and while they're under construction, you're like, help me, Jesus. Of course, they're working as fast as they can, and I get that. But like in Columbus, when we pastored in Pickerington, people would say, oh, you know, Pastor, I need you to get to the hospital. Well, it really would depend on what time, because the hospitals are all in different places, and it depended on what time of traffic. And so I could leave, but if it was during rush hour, you're not getting to the hospital for a while. It's going to take me a while to get there because I'll be stuck in traffic. There's people that live 10 miles away, be white-knuckled on the way home because it takes them almost 45 minutes to an hour to drive to and from work every day, living 10 miles from where they work because of traffic and all of that. So life sometimes is just stressful when we're going to do something that we want to do for life, just on our way, or it's just one of those things. But you get the point. There's people you be driving and they love your driving. They tell you you're a number one driver. I would rather live my life in the faith lane, the lane that cruises at an altitude much higher than the world system, the altitude that God has, that we can walk with him, his spirit in us, and we can do the things that he is wanting us to do and do things so well that we know that God had to do it because we're not that good. I mean, it's just amazing. We can ignore the directions that the world gives, and we can believe for more. The nice thing about when I've been driving in the lane, the faith lane, I get to my destination, and I get there in one piece. Not just peace altogether, but peace, P-E-A-C-E, peace as in traveling and getting there, because I have yielded that to him. I want to give you today at least five things, and there could be more, but at least five things that will help you to live life in the faith lane, not the fast lane. Now, it can be fast, but if you're in the faith lane, it's going to be good. It's going to be awesome. Turn to your neighbor, give him a high five, and let's get started. All right, our number one thing is we get to choose our lane. You get to choose which lane you want to drive in. Deuteronomy 30, 15, and 19 says, "See, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. Call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live." When you get up in the morning, everybody gets to choose where they're going to, how they're going to be. I love this. Mallory told me that Arrow, 4 years old, him and his daddy went on a trip yesterday, and he came back and he said, "I decided," I might get this wrong, but I'm trying to get this right, "I decided that I was going to be happier." I got up and he said he was mad, but he decided that he was going to be happier about his day and enjoy it more. He's four. I'm like, dear Jesus, he needs to rub off on me. You ever get up, do you feel like the wrong side of the bed, or you're just like, "I'd like to do today over"? Have you ever had those days when it seems like everything happens, you drop everything, you trip, you do whatever? You don't have to nod at me if you don't want to. Yes, I know what that means. But sometimes we get to, well, actually, you get to choose. No matter what happens in your day, you choose. You have the power of life and death in your mouth. You choose where you're going to ride. You choose where you're going to head. Some people just be like, "Just let the waves overtake me. I'm tired of fighting." And I think we can all relate to that to some extent. Sometimes you're beat down, you're tired, you know, I get it. But so how do we choose life? Brett, how do we do that? Deuteronomy 30 tells us to love God, walk in his ways, keep his commandments and statutes and judgments. That means just doing what God says to the best of our ability. I'm not so good at that sometimes. So that means the Bible says don't forsake assembling together. And so, coming to church is awesome. But if we come to church and enjoy it, and as soon as we leave here, we verbally attack or gossip or do whatever, we kind of null and void a lot of the things that we set out to not do. We're not really keeping his commandments. But we're called to be perfect in the spiritual sense, in the biblical sense. Because when you have God inside you, do you know that God's spirit is perfect, right? And your spirit and his spirit get together. What the problem that we have is we fight the other couple parts. We fight our flesh. Because we fight what we know, what we've experienced. When we choose life God's way, we choose success. We have this expectancy about us. I expect good things to happen. I expect that God has given me great favor. I walk in that. I expect when I lay hands on the sick, they recover. That's my position. Our second thought, we have to speak life and not death. So we get to choose. So when we make that choice, then we got to say, okay, I'm going to choose life. Maybe if you add this little tagline after things, and I've done this and, I've caught myself doing this. And matter of fact, I've said it out loud. And then my helper, PK, will tell me, "Is that the way you want it? Because I put this, and that's the way I want it." So what I say, then I could say, "And that's the way I want it." So you get up in the day and you're like, "And that's the way I want it." Do you really want to say that? Because life is in your mouth. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10, 17, and hearing by the word of God. Guess what unbelief comes by? Hearing. You want to say things that aren't faith-filled? You'll start clinging onto those. James 1, 6, 8 says, "Let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven tossed by the wind, for let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." You know, on a two-lane road, you either go this way or you go that way, if it's just two lanes. Now, it's not a freeway where there's two going one way and two coming the other way, but just on a normal highway, two lanes. You pick the lane of which way you want to go. You want to stay in the faith lane? You have to speak faith words, life words, words of God. It's just how it is. People always want the shortcut. Give me the cliff version of that. There isn't one. I mean, there just isn't one. I asked a kid one time, I said, okay, you got to memorize the scripture, because they were earning stuff for a Royal Ranger. You got to memorize this scripture. And the kid's like, I got it. I said, what's your scripture? Jesus wept. All right, you got me on that one. Well, then, you know, he was always trying to find a little loophole. And so one of the assignments was, this was when I was in the assemblies. Royal Rangers was like a Christian Boy Scout, for those that don't understand it. But I was an Eagle Scout, so it was kind of a shoe-in for this, and so it was all good. Anyway, they had to, one of their assignments to earn this badge was they had to take notes on 5 sermons. And so I wasn't even a pastor at that time. I'm watching this kid. I'm his commander, and I'm thinking, he is not taking notes. He is talking with his buddies. He's, you know, he's doing what a teenager does. I get it. So after the service, I'm like, hey, did you enjoy the service? He goes, I did. I said, you take notes? He said, I got it. I said, what did the pastor preach on? And this is what he said. This was his answer. Sin. I said, and what did he say? And he goes, he's against it. But sometimes we just want a shortcut. And really, you can't shortcut the Word of God. You have to get involved in the Bible. You have to get involved in God's Word. It is what will set you free. It is what will set you on the rock. It is what will deliver you. It is what will bring everything that you need into your life. I can't overemphasize that. But your words are the steering wheel for your life. Life in the faith lane, if you're not speaking words of faith and believing the Bible with words of faith, you're not going to stay in that lane. If you look in the mirror now and you say, look at where I'm at, I have to do that too. So we all have to go, and you know the reason we're at where we're at? We're the reason. So we have to, okay, God, from this point, what do I need to change? What do I need to do? I start speaking God's word over my life, God's will over my life. I start getting into what the word says about this situation or that situation. And it sends me farther down that faith lane. I make strides that I never would have made before. God's word is active and alive. I'm going to say that one more time. His word is active and alive. Now remember this, and I've taught you this. Faith is voice activated. Faith doesn't just happen, it's voice activated. You have authority. You have to speak the word of God. The opposite is true as well. If you speak negativity, if you speak doubt, you speak fear, self-pity, defeat, you flip yourself around, you start going the other way. And it's away from the things that you're believing for. Now, I'm a dude, so backtracking is no fun. If you're, how many guys in here, when you go on vacation, you count the people that you pass? Jack, thank you for being honest, Jack. You rest of you guys, I don't know. Now, or you notice when you go by them, they're pulling a trailer or they're whatever, and then somebody in your car has to go to the bathroom. We just stopped at the bathroom. Yeah, 4 hours ago, you know, would come from the back seat or whatever, but you stop in there, and then as a guy and you get back to the car, you pass the same people again, and you're like, I've already passed them once. Backtracking is no fun. I don't want to have to go and do things over and over and over again. I want to excel at where the Lord wants me to excel. Making sure that, God, help me to say the things that you want me to say. Sometimes just to zip my lip would be best. You know, Kim has been really good for me because sometimes she'll say, you don't have to say everything. And that's true. You know, you don't have to say everything. Sometimes you just think, I need to make sure they know, you know, and maybe you don't. But you need to pray and ask. But if I'm going to head somewhere that God has given me a dream, given me a vision, then I need to begin to speak his word and speak in the faith lane. God, what are you calling me to? How do you want me to do that? And then begin to declare those things and bind the things that are not. Be consistent. I don't want to speak faith one day and then speak out of the other side of my mouth the next day. If I keep flip-flopping, we just read in James, we are guaranteed nothing. Speak life words. You know what a habit is? A habit is something you do all the time. Now, how many have a body alarm clock? I mean, your own, you wake up the same time every day, whether you set the alarm or not. Even if you get to bed at 2 a.m. or something, that's what happens to me. I'll wake up I have to tell myself, I can sleep. Or how many look at the clock just to see how many hours you have left to sleep? Yeah. Yeah, some of you are like, hey, it's only 9 o'clock. I got 11 more hours to sleep. But habits, they say it takes 21 days to create a habit of doing the same thing over and over again until you kind of get used to doing it over and over again. When I worked at Honda, I worked on the assembly line. And, I mean, it doesn't take long. By the time the day is over, I've done that particular screw or put on that tire or done whatever I was doing. I don't know how many times. And in a week or in a month or in a year, it's just crazy. You could do it with your eyes closed. It just happens. Habit. What would happen if you had a habit of God that way? Think about it. Every day, if I got up and I read some devotion and I prayed and I made some declarations and I declared and I heard myself saying what God has given me to say, the things I got from His Word with the dreams and the scripture that I found that made me jump when I even saw it. What if I did that? Do you realize that you could be doing so much of what the Lord wants you to do and seeing the results of that by just staying in the faith lane? By just saying, I'm going to get up. Let me rephrase. Not just saying, but by doing that. You know, so making sure that, okay, I'm going to get up. I would rather have somebody that prayed 5 minutes every day than somebody that didn't pray 6 days and tried to pray 35 minutes in one day. Does that make sense? Because at least for 5 minutes, they were rubbing shoulders with God. For 5 minutes, they were committed to saying, God, what do you want for me today? For 5 minutes, at least they gave that much time. But you know what I found out? If you give God 5 minutes, pretty soon you'll be like, wow, it's been 20 minutes already. And I didn't even realize it. I mean, God will give you an idea. Well, I don't know. I just feel shut up in my shabby office or whatever. Well, then pray on your lunch break and find out, wow, this is cool. I mean, get a plan from Him so that you can stay in the faith lane. What do you need? What are you dealing with? It might take more than 5 minutes, y'all. That sounds Southern, doesn't it? It might take more. It might take you investing in the kingdom because His Word doesn't come back void. If I'm going to declare something, baby, I want to declare what I know is going to work. If I declare the Word of God and it is what He gave me for my life, then I can live in the faith lane. I can expect results. There's going to be... Anybody else grow up with Laurel and Hardy besides me? I mean, they were still old movies when I was little, just so you know. But love those. But there was one movie, I don't even remember what it's called, but Stanley went around telling everybody, it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a fight, because Ollie was going to fight this guy, and there's all these steps they had to climb, and there's going to be a fight, there's going to be a fight, you know, and all of that. I just got to tell you, see, people think, somebody has told you, if you come to Jesus, the devil will never bother you again. There's going to be a fight. He's going to try. He's going to tempt you. He's going to fight you. He's going to fight you every step of the way. But you have chosen your lane. You have predetermined your lane. I am going to stand on the Word of God. And I'm going to say those things out of my mouth. I'm going to tell the devil like it is. What the Word says it is, not what I see. Did you catch that? PK and I love some of the banter we have back and forth. Well, I don't know if it's going to be banter. I mean, we listen to a lot of different things. She told me something today that I have never heard ever that way. And I was like, that is so huge. We were on our way to church today. You remember the story of this? Remember Jesus gave power to the disciples? And He said, you can cast out demons and you can heal the sick. And then He sends them off. So, because this is what Jesus said. They watch Him do it. He does it with them. He watches them do it. and he sends him off. Pretty good example. I like that. Do you remember the story where the guy comes to Jesus and says, could you get this demon out of my son? Your disciples tried, and they couldn't do it. You remember that? Let me just pull this all together. The disciples prayed for it. Now, they have already seen demons leave. According to the word, they've already done it. So they've seen it. So they tell this devil to leave. And it says it threw him in a fit. Threw the kid in a fit. He went into the convulsions. And then they just did what? Then the guy goes to Jesus and says they couldn't do it. Is that pretty much how the scripture reads? I was like, I've never heard it this way before. And Jesus says, how long am I going to be with you? When are you guys going to catch this? And I'm thinking, I just now caught it. I mean, it's for real. I just caught it. She told me that today, and she's like, baby, this is huge. And I'm like, so maybe I can you today, because you're going to live in the faith lane. Jesus speaks to the demon in the boy, doesn't he? And the Bible says the boy does what? He falls into convulsions. Isn't that what he did with the disciples? Shut the front door. He did the same thing with the disciples. But what the disciples didn't do is they didn't stay consistent. They didn't stay on it. They saw what they saw and believed what they saw and said, he's not coming out. But Jesus doesn't say that. He just stays there and the demon leaves. And the kid's in his right mind. Now, here's my point. The demon would have left with the disciples, but they yielded to their natural senses. I'm like, that's me. Have you ever been there? And just like, because you don't see it right away, or it does this, it does the opposite of what they're thinking. It did the same thing when Jesus prayed for him, same thing. But he just like, I'm not taking away what I did. You know, who knows what the conversation after that? Well, I guess it's not coming out. All demons don't come out. I don't know. That's what man does. We make our own doctrine up then. And Jesus says, that's not how it is. The devil has to leave. That just blew my mind. And I thought, how many times did I pray for something and walk away from it? Because I didn't see it. Life in the faith lane. How many times has that happened to me where I was right there? I'm right on the edge, like, woo-hoo-hoo! But no! I believe the enemy and the lies he starts sending. It's not happening. Nothing's changed. Okay. Could you imagine doing an eye lock with Jesus Christ? The Bible says the eyes are the windows to the soul. When I pray for deliverance for people, I'll say, look at me. If there's anything in there that ain't right, they don't want to look at me. They'll go. And I'll be like, no, look at my eyes. You know why? Because there's God in me. There's like God in you. And when you declare God, that's kind of like, and stay where God tells you to stay. It will leave. It has no choice. Do you believe it? See, that's our problem. We want to, and we say we do, and I'm not saying you don't, but I'm saying from now you got to think, I don't have to see it. You can fall, you can roll, you can do donuts. I don't care. You're gone. Because that's not of God. So when we declare the things of God, we stay with what we've chosen, the lane, and what we've spoken. If God said it, that settles it. You don't have to see it in your... You know, do you understand that faith gets the things out of the spiritual and pulls them into the natural? You're not going to see it in the natural first because it's in the spiritual. That's why it's faith. You've got to grab it and bring it into the natural. And you know how you do that? Because you are God's agent to do that. You are the one that's going to show how God is so good. You're going to show how God's kingdom works. You're going to take things that people are going, I got no idea. And God's going to say, you're going to show them the idea. That's why Jesus talked in parables. There's so many things that we need to know, and God will say, look, and you see an answer, and it almost is like, are you kidding me? Could it be that I think God is simple? I mean, I think he's certainly smarter than anything, but I think he keeps things simple, and we complicate it by our own senses. I don't know, Brother Brad, I'm just not feeling it. You know, back in the day, there's so much religion. You know, the people used to have, you had to wear a beehive, whatever that was. I guess your hair had to be so tall. The higher it was, the closer you were to God. You know, it's just all just religion, man-made stuff. I first met Kim, and I met Charlotte. I love Charlotte. She cooked for me. She's awesome. Hamburgers, two of them, awesome. Pepsi, awesome. But she wore a dress, which is fine. One day I went over, she had culottes on. I don't know why they call them culottes, but they're like a dress with shorts, or they're a dress morphed into shorts. Maybe that's what it is. But Kim goes, Mom's in culottes. I'm probably not supposed to say this, but I'm clear up here. Mom's in culottes. It's a big deal. I'm like, big deal. She goes, yeah, because she'd never do that before. She's tired of this. She's in culottes. Say something. What do you say? Love those culottes. I'm out. I don't know what to say. But it was so cool. You know what Charlotte was saying? There's more to this than what man says. And she was finding God to be deeper than what she had known him before. So when the devil tempts you, say what the word says. It is written. Come on, give me some written word, people. It is written. You got sickness, you got pain in your body. It's got to go. It is written. And begin to declare the healing scriptures of the Lord. This is my body. It is his body. I give it to him. And you begin to declare the things of God. Instead of like, well, that's the way I want. If that's the way you want it, then you go ahead and declare sickness. I don't like sickness. I'm against it. So anytime I start feeling anything, I start declaring. I'm serious. Just the other day, I was just like, and I just, from the moment it started, and it took about a day and a half. But it was constantly, I mean, I couldn't sleep well and different. I'm just like, I'm on it. And here's the reason. Because I am a word guy, and I want to live life in the faith lane. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? I mean, I've been on staff where in our mind, in the world system, oh, I don't know. We should, you know, we went and I told you this story. We were supposed to go in and pray for somebody in an ICU unit. And they had us put on, the first time we were in there, they had us put on these white zoot suits, you know, and zip them up, had this thing on, and they, you know, I was just like, whew. So we went in, and I didn't pray. I was just in agreeing in prayer, and we went in, and we said our three prayers in a poem type prayer. Lord, if it's your will, really? You know what I found out? It's God's will that you're healed. It's God's will that you're well. And the next time we went, and I didn't even know then what I know now, and I still got a lot to learn. Next time we went, they said, we're out of those suits, so you'd have to go in on your own risk. And the pastor I was on staff with said, well, we'll just come back. When are you going to get more suits? And I was just like, the heck with suits? Let's go in there. Let's lay hands on them. And you know what? They got better. And I didn't get sick. Here's the deal. I didn't even put two and two together. But life in the faith lane, you are God's agent. You are God's person. You are God's, you are his witness. You are his light. When are we going to start shining and start saying, this is what he says? I believe it. I love that when Jesus says, bring them to me. Because don't you love kids? Like, I love Arrow, love Ari and Aowen, but their faith is just incredible. Today I just decided I'm going to be better. Man, I'm like, whew. How many of us could just go, today I just decided. And he's just happy. He's just happy. Here's our third thought. Do it on purpose. Be intentional about being obedient. Make up your mind. I'm going to do what God says. I'm going to check with God. John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. You know, some of those things are just to keep you safe. Do you understand that? Just to keep you well. I mean, just not being stupid. There's times you have to go pray, and I get it. I'm not going to get sick because any sickness, any disease, any virus touches my body, dies instantly. But I'm just talking about using wisdom. I think I'm going to jump out of a plane without a parachute. Stupid. Don't do that. Wisdom. You see, what happens when we move out of the faith lane, when God says, I don't want you to go there. I want you to pray for them, but this is what I want you to do. I want you to give. When we just say, I don't want to listen to any of that, it's kind of like if I had an umbrella and the rain is coming down, the umbrella's protecting me. I've just willingly said, I'm going to get out of the protection. You remember the story I told you about the woman that said she felt she wasn't supposed to go there and got mugged? Because the Holy Spirit was saying, don't go there. You're going to get mugged. And she went anyway, and then she said, I don't understand. I've been claiming Psalm 91. You can claim the right scripture, but if God gives you a rhema word, speaks to your spirit, and says, he's never going to go against his word, okay? If it goes against his word, it's not God. But if he says, don't go there, it's not safe. He is trying to protect you with Psalm 91. You just aren't listening. But you got to walk it out. Step by step. I'm going to do a series starting next week, and that's what I'm going to call it. I think I'm just going to call Walking It Out. So that we can find, just how do we walk this? I just want to walk it out. I mean, I want to give you tools that you can just be like, okay, I'm going to do this. This is what the Word says. And I'm telling you, if we follow the Word, it'll work. God has given you the written Word and His Spirit within you. That's your GPS system. GPS should be God's protective system, I guess. That's your GPS. Let the Holy Spirit tell you things. Let him say, don't go home this way today. Go a different way. Okay. There'll be times Kim will be shopping and she'll be like, I should buy that, but I don't need that. But she feels it again, I should buy that. And she'll buy it. And later on, guess what? Somebody will come up and say, man, this is what I'm looking for. And she'll be like, I have that. And she'll just give it to him. Or, I'm going to buy that. And she feels like, don't buy that. I'm going to buy that. Don't buy that. And she gets home and she tells me, I wanted to buy that. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, don't buy it. And then later, she gets that gift in a gift. That's why it's not like she couldn't have it. He's like, you've already got it. Somebody's buying it for you. Don't mess it up. Luke 11, 28, he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. His plan, his purpose for your life is dependent. Well, really, it's not dependent on what you can or cannot do, because Jesus has already done it. And that's where we get this religious thing. It is, I have to perform. Everything I do is, you know, I'm either in the woodshed or I've got the dunce cap on or whatever. You got to get some of that mentality out of your system. Because that's the world. There's people that, we had people that tell us, there must be just sin in their life. Okay, who made you God? That's why this is happening. Or that's why this and the. You have to understand, everything that you need has been done on the cross. Jesus already paid it. He's not going back. He's not going to do that again. It's already been done. So we have to understand, we have to come from another viewpoint instead of, I have to earn this. It's a gift. Did you understand that? He did it for you. There's nothing you can do to make him love you less. There's nothing you can do to make him love you more. It's perfect. Man, that's tough. I mean, I love that woman more than I think I could love anybody, but I can still make her mad. Then I don't know that I'm perfect. Because sometimes, you know what I'm saying? We're human, I get it. But what about God? What if we let God be our driving force? What if we let God be our GPS? What if we let, since we are connected by spirit, let him guide us? You have to be intentional about being obedient. You got to make up your mind. I'm going to be obedient. I don't think anybody in their right mind sets out, I'm going to do something really wrong, and I'm going to be good at it. I don't know that we set out to do that, but I think if we go into a situation, we can intentionally be obedient. You can watch what you say, because, you know, come on. We all know there's situations or circumstances you get in, and there's things you have to watch what you say, because you know if you said a couple things, it's like watching Family Feud. So you don't want to say that. So you have to ask the Lord, Lord, I want to be obedient. Help me. So how do we do that? Maybe spend more time. Everybody say, more time. More time meditating on the Word of God, applying it to my life. More time listening and responding to the things that God wants to correct me on. More time practicing holding my tongue, being patient, thinking of others instead of myself. More time just forgiving. How about that? How about if we forgive people that hurt us in the past? Forgive things that were done to us in the past. Forget things that where we were betrayed in the past. But just saying, God, I need you, and because you're God and you can do this, I'm going to spend more time letting you do it. Because it's already done. More time praying and putting these things before the Lord, declaring the things of God, declaring, this is what I want. This is my result. I see it in the, I can say that. More time walking in our authority. That's such a big deal. So many things happen to us from the enemy and we just don't take authority over. Just like the disciples. Ooh, I don't think that demon's coming out. Jesus, but yet that demon was on his way out because he did the same thing with Jesus. But they walked away. Don't you walk away. Number four, practice what you say. So you're going to have to walk it out, but practice what you say. Live your faith on purpose, Ephesians 5, 15, 17. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. To do our faith on purpose, make up your mind. I want to live life in the faith lane. Choose the lane you want to be in. You don't get in the faith lane by accident. People don't get saved accidentally. Did you hear me? You can't get saved accidentally. Well, I guess. If you guess, you're probably not saved. You have to confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. Call out to the Lord, he'll answer you. Do you believe who he is and what he said and what he's done? You can't do that accidentally. So you have to decide, I'm going to speak words of faith. I'm not going to speak words of doubt. That's what I love about my partner, my wife. You know, if we're saying things, we'll correct each other. A lot of times it tends to be more her correcting me than me correcting her. But that's because she's much better listener than me. But she hears things, and I might say this. Now, listen to me. I'm just trying to help. I hope you're getting this. Well, God knows my heart. Now, I've said that before. You know, that's true. But the devil doesn't respond to that, does he? No. Words. Words. Authority words. Binding. Loosing. Is this the way you want it? I've had people that, well, Brett, I'll never lose weight. Okay, but that's not what I'm going to say. So I'm going to obey God. I'm going to make up my mind. Even when my flesh is shouting pain or sickness or snotty, stuffy nose or sore throat or whatever, I'm going to make up my mind to start saying the written word. By his stripes, I was healed. Pain, you line up, you get out of my body. Every muscle, every fiber, every nerve in my body, line up with the word of God. I command my body to be right. And you just keep declaring it. Here's our last one. Stay focused and on course. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, remember last week, we talked about alignment. Brett, I feel like I'm saying all the right things, and I'm not seeing any results. And so take inventory. Look at yourself. What's going on? Have the Holy Spirit reveal things to you. He is inside you, so he'll tell you, guess what? Here's what you're doing. Remember, we talked about listen with your heart. Not just with your ears, but your heart. Listen with your heart. Put God first, placement, and then do what he says. Faith without works is dead. Doesn't happen unless you walk it out. God always gives you a way to get back. If you get off track, he always helps you get back on track. Most of the things that I'm telling you, a lot of times wrap around love. It's hard in a world that we talk about love, but it's not the love God's talking about. The world talks mostly about just physical love, but God's way past that. He understands union. He understands marriage. He created that. But he is talking about forgiveness. Loving someone even though they maybe not love you back. Sometimes that's not so easy. I've had people ask me, well, I've tried to make up with them, and maybe you did it or they did it or whatever, and you've tried. Still love. If you've put it out there and they don't do anything back, let them deal with it. Just give that to God. Let that anointing just work on them. Don't stop because you don't see results. You're bigger than that because he's bigger than that, and he's inside you. So let's live our life in the faith lane if we can. We can, but let's make our words match up with the way we walk. Let's make our words match up with the way we dream. Let's make our words match up with the way we think. Let's make our words match up with what God says, because that's his word. Let our words be his. Jesus said this, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You hear me say this? I've heard Dad say it. I'm going to tell you one more quick story and I'm done. My father's sitting back in the back. I love my dad. When I was growing up and I was a little boy, I don't know if you'll remember this commercial. I remember my dad used to smoke. I don't know how many packs a day. He said two. 20 cigarettes in a pack, I think. So 40 cigarettes a day. Somehow going in and out. There was a commercial on TV where the father and son, I don't know if you remember, it's been years ago, we're walking and the dad is like, he taps on something and the boy's running right behind him and he taps on it. The dad gets a stick and he goes across the fence, you know, and the boy picks up a stick and goes across the fence. The dad picks up a rock and they're at the lake and he skips the rock. The little boy picks up a rock and he skips the rock. And they sit down by a tree, and the dad reaches for a cigarette, puts one in his mouth, sets the pack down. The boy reaches for a cigarette, and they stop the camera. That commercial made my dad say, I'm done smoking. Because I was wanting to do, and that's kind of our course. That's how we live, right? We see things, and we do them, and he quit smoking. And I'm not telling you if you're smoking, you're going to go to hell. Smoking's just not good for you, okay? It's not good for your heart, your health, your life, and it's expensive. So you can still go to heaven if you smoke. I'm not saying you can't. You might get there quicker. I mean, there's that. But, you know, it's not good for you, okay? Religion would tell you, you know, you can't chew, you can't smoke, you know. I'm not telling you to do any of those things. I'm telling you not to do any of those things. I'm just saying they're not good for you. But what I'm saying is, in that lane, he saw something past himself. He saw his little boy. And I have never smoked. I mean, I can't say I've never had a cigarette, never a full cigarette. I've taken a puff and about gagged myself. That was way back in the day. way back in the day. I had a babysitter show me that. That's a whole another story. She showed me and my sister that. She puffed and spit up in a napkin and said, "See?" I was like, "That's nasty." I still remember that. Her name was Pam. She lived across the street, Pam Thacker. And she was like, "This is why you don't want to smoke." I'm like, "Just get it away from me." But anyway, I love that about my dad, because the things that didn't move him off that were probably many, but the thing that did was me. And I didn't even know it. So my point to telling you that whole story is, you really don't know who all you're influencing. But if we're going to live in the faith lane, let's just live it for God. Now, we're not perfect. And if you have a battle on the way through there, God will help you with that. We're not here to condemn you. I hope you don't feel condemned. I'm not here to judge you. I'm not trying to judge you. I'm here to tell you there's better. Okay? Bow your heads, close your eyes.